And Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we thank you we could gather together around them this morning. And Father, we pray that we would just be attentive to them and hear what you have to say to us today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so last week we started 1 John chapter 4, and we're kind of going through how to try the spirits, whether they be of God or whether they're not of God, right? And so we try the spirits by what comes out of a person's mouth, their words. That's how we try spirits. Now, in order to not get hung up on technicalities, right, of what we think about what the scriptures mean, we have to find out what God means. And we see that in the Bible. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And that's how you find out what God means about what's written down in the Bible. Such as the case in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Okay? And so we saw last week what the Bible means, right? What it's when it says Jesus is come in the flesh, and that is that he's come already, right? We know that. We went to the book of Matthew, and we saw in chapter 17:12 what the definition is when it was talking about Elias or John the Baptist, right? And so, but a lot of legalist Christians will get will ask this question to somebody to see whether or not that person is speaking of God. I used to do it, right? You learn something, and you're like, oh, okay, well, let me find out if this person really is a believer or not. And you ask the question, they don't say the right answer. And then all of a sudden you think, well, you know, that's a wrong spirit that's coming out of this person's mouth, right? But you get hung up on these words and these meanings of words, and you don't even know what they are at times. And so that's why it's important to find out what the Bible is talking about, find out what God, how God looks at a verse. And God looks at this verse where this is in the past tense. And we saw that. And so but if a person doesn't respond to this question correctly, and you don't know what it means, then it's easy to take something and apply it wrong. And so and you know what that's called? That's called knowledge, right? It's called knowledge. What does it do? It puffeth up. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 8. 8 verses 1. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth it up. But charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Right? And so, you know, when you first start out and you start out learning things in the Bible and you start out learning these phrases and how to find out if somebody's speaking of God, and then you don't really know what it's talking about because you just haven't learned. You haven't learned enough Bible to and compared the proper scripture, the proper scriptures to be able to have a little charity, right? And that's what it is. That's basically what I'm trying to get here. The point here is that we have to understand what the Bible's talking about before we can apply it to other people in their lives. And what the Bible's talking about here in verse 2 is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, right? If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks, you believe that he's come in the flesh. That's what this is. That's what it means. And we as Bible believers, and maybe not you out there, but I'm speaking to myself here, we have to have charity about these things. Charity is love in action. So what if the guy doesn't give the right answer to the question, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but he believes in the gospel, the guy, he's of God. The man is of God. And maybe you just didn't apply it right. And so, but anyway, if a man doesn't believe the gospel, right, then he's not of God. The Bible says in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. And so if a man doesn't believe the gospel, he's not of God. And he does not believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And what that means, folks, is God was manifest in the flesh. How? In the form of Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ, right? And so he doesn't believe this. And the Bible says that any spirit that is unable to confess this, that God is manifest in the flesh, that he was here on this earth, right? If he doesn't confess that, it is a spirit of Antichrist. And this is an unholy spirit. It's an unclean spirit. Notice how the Bible references the spirit of Antichrist here in verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. It's in the singular form. It's in the singular form. And it's in the plural form when you read down into verse 4 here. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Right? Because ye have because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so it's here in the plural form, verse 4, them, right? He was just talking about that spirit. Now he's talking about them, okay? Remember back in 1 John, hold on, 1 John 2, verse 18. What did John say about these antichrists? Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that antichrist shall come. That's singular, right? Even now, are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. We know it's the last time. And so there are many antichrists. Not just one, many. But it can be one, and can be many. And so the spirits that are not of God are antichrist. All of them that are not of God are antichrist, right? And they also cumulate into one, which is the antichrist. They go into one. The spirit of antichrist is in the world now. He's in the world now. And how? In many false prophets. Look, if you would, in 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you know what these false prophets won't do? They won't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They won't believe the gospel. They won't believe that a God was manifest in the flesh. In the man Christ Jesus, right? They won't believe that. They won't confess it. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who are the them? The antichrists of verse 3, right? In the plural form. That's who the them are, which are many. 1 John chapter 2, 18, we just read. You find the same sort of thing in Mark. Mark 5, look if you would in Mark 5. Here's an account of a man that was had an unclean spirit in him. Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 1. We'll start reading there. And the Bible says, and they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarians, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he hath been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken pieces, neither could any man tame him. Okay? We know what we're dealing with here. We've been through this story before, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Singular, right? And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And there you have this account again, where the Antichrist, singular, is a culmination of many Antichrists, plural, right? And for we are many. And he saw to much that he will not send them away out of the country, and so on. And then we find out later what these unclean spirits are. They're devils. Verse 12. Okay? And so you have a bunch of unclean spirits, devils, culminating into one spirit. Singular. Right? And and it's a singular, and then they go into plural, in the plural form. So there's one, and there could be many into one, so the Antichrist will be a culmination of unclean spirits who are already in this world, folks. They're already in the world. Now every Christian has overcome every one of these unclean spirits, right? The moment they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unclean spirits, they rule over this world at this time. We know that, right? This world has a God. It has a God. And that God is the spirit of Antichrist, folks. The devil, right? That's what the God of this world is. And look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says, is it 2 Corinthians? Yeah, I'm in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How does he do that? With many false prophets. That's how he hides it. That's how he blinds them. He conceals it from people. And the only way to overcome this deception, this blinding, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's the only way. And why? Because in Christ is the only way to have victory. It's the only way to have victory. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Right? Those who believe the gospel they have victory. And they have overcome the world. And so what this means is that no unclean spirit, no spirit of Antichrist, no Antichrist can ever get your spirit or can ever get your soul. That's what that means. When you have overcome the world, you've overcome that spirit of Antichrist. He can't have you no more, right? He can't get your soul. He can't get your spirit. Why? Because the moment you trusted in Jesus Christ, your soul was cut away from the flesh. It was cut away from the body of sin. It was sealed until the day of redemption. And Your spirit was joined to the Holy Spirit, right? That's found in Ephesians 4:30. You're sealed. You're until your body is redeemed. You're sealed, and once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. That's what that means. That's what that means. You've overcome the world. What's in the world? Antichrist, unclean spirits, many antichrists. And so now the only time that a Christian needs to be concerned about yourself or about another Christian, right, is with dealing with unclean spirits is when you get out of fellowship with God. That's the only time, folks. And when you get out of fellowship with the Son, when you get out of fellowship with the Father, when you get out of fellowship with the words of God, that's the only time a Christian needs to be concerned about an unclean spirit. The Bible warns that a Christian can be deceived. He can be deceived when they resist the truth. When you resist the truth, when you resist the Word of God, when you resist the teachings of Jesus, when you resist the teachings of God through His Bible, when you resist God, when you resist that truth, you can be deceived. Not only that, but a Christian can lie to the Holy Spirit. Look in Ananias, right? In Acts 5:3. Is it Ananias? I can't remember. I don't want to misspeak this. Acts 5. Not only can a Christian be deceived, he can lie to the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 5, verse 3. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" You can lie to the Holy Ghost, folks. A Christian can. And not only that, but a Christian can grieve the Holy Spirit. He can grieve, or she can grieve the Holy Spirit. Look, if you would, in Ephesians. Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians 4:30. Is that where it is? Yeah. Ephesians 4:30. We're warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherefore ye are sealed until the day of redemption." How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By what comes out of the mouth. What does it say? "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto others." When we don't do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we don't try to lift other people up, we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says, folks. That's a Christian can grieve the Holy Spirit by what they say about others, by what they say to others, if it's not edifying. And so the Holy Spirit's grieved by what comes out of a person's mouth. And that's what defiles a man as well. It defiles a man. And so when a person limits the Holy Spirit of God with the sin that they do, with their mouth, with what they do in life, with lying to the Holy Spirit and such things, they leave the door open to be deceived by unclean spirits, which are false prophets, right? You can be deceived. And devils, whatever name you want to call them, whether you want to call them devils, whether you want to call them antichrists, whether you want to call them unclean spirits, they can get to a Christian and deceive them if they fall out of fellowship with God. And you know what they can do? They can't get your soul, and they can't get your spirit, but they can get your body. And you can die a premature death, right? And people don't want to hear that, but that's the truth, folks. Sin kills. And if you're deceived into sinning, you're killing yourself. You're killing yourself. And but they can't get your soul. But they can make it to where you become unfruitful and deceive you out of fellowship that you can have with God the Father and God the Son in this life. And that's why a Christian doesn't need to be concerned about his soul. You've overcome the world. But you need to be concerned about the fellowship with your Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, when you step out of the truth. Because an unclean spirit will step in and start to deceive. And that's what their forte is, to deceive, to blind, to keep you from hearing the Word of God. 1 John. We are not ignorant, right? The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know what he wants to do. If he can't get your soul, he wants to blind you and keep you from hearing the any other truth that's found in the Word of God. And so, verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Who's the they? The Antichrist, the false prophets, the unclean spirits, and any unsaved person has one. They all have them. They are of the world. They are the unclean spirits. The many antichrists. You want to know what they talk about? I mean, we can hear it all over the news, right? They talk about the world, folks. They talk about the world. Do you know what you're dealing with when you hear people talk about saving the world? Right, you're dealing with an antichrist. You hear business like save the whales and save the tortoises and save the eagles. That's what you're going to hear from these people. And save the rainforests, save the planet. That's what you're going to hear, and you hear it all over the place. And it's a big thing. God help you if you try to protect your house and put a berm up around this around the church, or in my case, the berm up around the house, right? You'll be met with the Save the Planeters. Folks, there's something wrong when you have people more worried about the world than people. They're more worried about the whales. Now, that doesn't mean that we as Christians are to go around trashing the earth anytime we get a chance, right? Or killing the last eagle, or just killing things just to kill them. But we're not to make it our effort in life to save this planet, folks, because this planet, it's really doing nothing but degrading, right? And there's nothing we're going to do to stop that. The only one that can stop that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he returns, and he'll restore the earth. But until he comes back, it's just going to keep degrading and it's going to continue to fall apart, right? But we're not to make it our life's effort to save that eagle, the one last eagle in the world. Right? We're not to make it that our life's effort. Why? Because it's not important. The people that do that are of the world. They're not of God. Do you know what kind of spirit loves this earth and the animals? It's a queer spirit. It really is. And queer spirits love an animal so much that they make an issue out of it. And the Bible talks about that, folks. Look, if you would, in Romans 1, it's there. That's a weird, queer spirit. Romans 1, and I'm making sure that there isn't any children in here. But the Bible lays this stuff out. And it wants us to know about this stuff. But these people that love the earth and the animals, they profess themselves to be wise. And they're not, folks. They're fools. They're fools. If you don't believe me, go to any college campus and start talking Start talking to some of these people, some of the students, some of the professors, and you're going to find out that they talk about the ozone. They talk about the rainforest. They talk about now the big thing is global warming, right? And you're going to hear about that until people get on board, but you hear about global warming. And thank God we have a president now that he kind of thinks this stuff is a hoax. This global warming movement. And they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to keep the planet from raising 1 degree, right? And we're going to find out next week that really global warming is a big hoax when you see the gold come in. But a man that's more interested in the earth and animals more than the Creator has been given over to a reprobate mind. And when you get to the top of the food chain of these people that are involved in these movements, you will find out that they're queer. They're queer. They're still young enough not to know what I just said. And so, those that don't know about the animals, folks, they don't know. The animals will teach you something. The animals will teach you something. And they'll teach you that you need to obey God. That's what the animals will teach you. And those that don't know this are not wise. They're fools. The fact of the matter is that animals have better sense than a lot of humans, a lot of men out there. Why? Because the animals do what God tells them to do. If you don't believe me, read the account about Noah. Right? Noah didn't go out and capture all these animals and bring them in on the boat. God told them to go there, and they went. They went. And they probably went in single filed, and they paired up just like God told them to, and they walked right into that boat. Noah didn't have to go searching for them and put out the big horn and call them into the boat. He didn't do that. Right? Look, if you would, about read the accounts of Daniel. When God doesn't want a hungry lion to eat a man, that hungry lion shuts its mouth and it doesn't open it until God says, now eat that one, right? And so the animals obey God. When God says to eat the little children to the bears, right? The account with Elijah, where these children, I think there was like 40 of them, we're making fun of him because he had a bald head. So don't make fun of a man of God if he's got a bald head. Right? Because what did that man do? He cursed him. And these bears came out of the woods and gobbled him up. And so animals listen to God. They listen to their Creator. And but men, they don't look at those accounts. And they don't care about the animals when they're listening to God. No. They want everything to do with an animal except when it's obeying God. And that's because they have a reprobate mind. And God's given them over to that reprobate mind. Why? Because they didn't glorify God. And they're wise in their own conceit. They're fools. Fools. Look back, if you would, in John. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 6, the Bible says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When a man who is of God hears something, hears somebody else speaking the truth of God, he hears it. He hears it by hearing the thing, right? He not only does he hear it in his ears, but in his eardrums, he hears it down into his heart, and he understands it. He hears it into his understanding. But a person can hear without hearing. They can. You can actually physically hear somebody talking to you and speaking the truth and never hear what he said. And this is found when you read the accounts about the Pharisees. They heard Jesus, but they didn't know it was truth. And they didn't receive it as such, and they didn't understand it. Look, if you would, in John 8. John 8, verse 43. Jesus says to them, "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Why? Because ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father..." The "because" wasn't in there. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Okay, the spirit of error is the spirit of this world. The same spirit that we were talking about in 1 John. The Antichrist spirit, right? And that's the spirit of error. And the spirit of the devil, the same spirit, it's the same spirit that blinds a man today. And it's the same spirit that that a man, if he's blinded to the truth, will receive. The spirit of error, right? For a man to understand spiritual things, he has to have the Holy Spirit, folks. He has to have the Holy Spirit to understand any spiritual things. And those that are of God, they know when they're hearing it, it's that it's the truth. And if they have any inclination that it's not the truth, they still receive it, and then they look it up. They look it up. But why can a man hear another man of God speak the truth and receive it? Because they have the same spirit. They have the same spirit, right? Now, all that a man can do, all that a man can do is he can give you the words of God. He can guide you into the truth, right? That's all a man can do. He can tell you something out of this book, and the Holy Spirit will tell you if that thing is right. He'll tell you if that thing is right, and he'll teach it to you. And if a man tells you something against this book, against the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will put up a hedge against that thing. He will. There's many times you'll be sitting in preaching or at teaching, and the Lord will say, "I don't know about that one," right? Or he'll put something around there where you just maybe receive what the person said, but hey, I don't know that for sure. I better go look that up. I need to research that a little bit more before I put my heart into that thing, right? And that's the Holy Spirit's job. And he'll put up that hedge against that thing until you've researched it. And once you see it in the Bible for yourself, that the Holy Spirit will show you, if you do, if you apply it, apply yourself, right? You're not going to sit there on a couch and be a couch potato and expect you're going to learn anything. If you get in there and you do that thing, you'll get the truth. And I hope, folks, that you see the importance here, right? The importance of not grieving the Holy Spirit. Because if we start to grieve the Holy Spirit and we stay out of fellowship with the Lord, when we hear the preacher talking and we hear the teacher talking, we might not get that hedge. Right? We might not get that hedge. And we might not get that truth. Right? And that's the importance of staying in fellowship with the Almighty Creator, so we are not deceived when we're hearing the Word of God, when we're hearing the man of God. And if you see that importance, folks, of staying in fellowship with the Lord, and not grieving the Holy Spirit, which whereby you are saved, right? Then we get into verse 7 of 1 John, and we'll go ahead and stop there. We'll just read the verse. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Isn't that something, how he keeps going back to the same thing? 1 John is something else. It's over. Goes back to the same thing. Right? Loving your neighbor. Loving God. Loving your neighbor. Loving God. Staying in fellowship. Loving your neighbor. Loving others. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we just pray that we would just continue to stay in fellowship with you day in and day out. And when we're not in fellowship, Lord, we pray that we would just get that right and just ask for forgiveness or confess the sin, Lord, and stay back in fellowship with you. And you're ready to forgive us. And let us keep that in mind. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.